Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower and inspire you on your personal journey. From her cattle ranch in Alberta, this sassy psychic cowgirl uses her connections to universal energies to guide you to greater awareness and wisdom.
Everybody, welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio. This is Shannon, and I'm coming to you live from my chilly ranch this morning. It's not exactly one of those bright, sunshiny days, but I'm hopeful. And today, I have a special guest, and I'm super excited about this. Hi, Kim.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Shannon. I'm pretty excited, too.
Yay! All right, I'm going to tell you guys about Kim. Just a little bit. Because I've known Kim a long time. We could tell stories on each other from our youth.
But maybe not today.
Not today. So Kim is a genetic psychic. She has a talent for remote viewing, astral projection, telepathy, and more. Kim has assisted local and federal authorities to find missing persons. She is not using her gifts as a full-time profession, but she weaves her gifts into everything that she does. She's a certified Vedic, hope I said that right, master in yoga and meditation. Yeah. Kim is a passionate gardener, and she's been gardening since she was 3. And Kim believes our connection to the earth maintains balance and open consciousness in the whole body. Yay!
Absolutely. Thank you. You sound way better than talking about me than I would.
That's because it's easier when somebody else does it, hey?
Yes, it definitely is.
All right, so I talked Kim into coming on the show to tell us about her remote viewing skills. She'll probably tell us about some of her other skills, too. But we'll start out with remote viewing. Okay, so here's the scoop, the way I see remote viewing, and I'm actually going to read a definition from my favorite research site. See, I can't even talk this morning. Crystallinx. Okay. Says, remote viewing is a procedure developed by parapsychologists at the Stanford Research Institute to, well, they say allegedly, but we know it's true, perform clairvoyance under controlled conditions, somewhat similar to astral projection. The phenomenon involves a belief in the projection of consciousness to remote locations. And then she talks about it being a pseudoscience, but we don't care about that. Okay. So the
That's
viewer is
That's a pretty good
use...
definition.
Okay. So you're using your clairvoyant abilities to view. That's it in a nutshell, right?
More or less. This is a skill that not just genetic psychics like you and I can use. But this is something that can be opened up in just about anyone's mind.
Nice.
So a little bit more about remote viewing. What you're doing is you're traveling through time and space. And this happens all at the same time. And basically what it is a transference of information through the time and space through that clairvoyance opening so that you can see past, present, and future. This is not meditation, and it is not astral projection. I guess that would be about the only difference between the other definition that you read, Shannon. Remote viewing is a quantum science. meaning, and you don't have to be intimidated by the word quantum science or quantum physics. It just means that there is a mechanism so that you can transfer that information through time and space. This has been accepted by modern-day physicists for probably the last 25 years. And like I said, anyone can actually do remote viewing. And if you are a genetic psychic, it is definitely easier to tap in, and you may not even know that you are remote viewing, especially if you're a young psychic. But if we go back into biology, and we know that there is a lot of genetic material within our body, and a lot of this genetic material, science doesn't know what it does yet. But what this genetic material actually does is it acts as a radio receiver. And that's how we can actually get this transference of information through time and space. I haven't lost you yet, have I?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You're doing awesome.
Okay. So if you've ever seen a photo or a diagram of what DNA actually looks like, think about your DNA structure as your radio antenna. And it's as simple as that. That antenna collects the signal so that you can actually interpret that information. A little bit of history with remote viewing. It's been used by governments, king's court, royalty, the pharaohs. They have all continue to have psychics and remote viewers within their courts or their governments. Probably the best known model is the American U.S. Defense Department, their Special Forces Department, which actually trained remote viewers. And
yes,
a really good Hollywood version of that is Men Staring at Goats movie. And it,
yes,
it is. You know, it's Hollywood, but it's a pretty good interpretation of how they went about it and how remote viewing can be tapped into by anyone who wants to do it.
Yeah, they did make it a little silly, but if you want to know more about that, research Stargate. I've lost hours reading information about it. It is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made the movie a little spoofy, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's Hollywood, right? It was meant to be like that. And to get that information out there, I think, the masses obviously wanted to know about it, and that's why the movie ended up coming out. So basically, remote viewing is just, it's really basic physics.
Okay.
And I failed physics in high school.
So did I. And we weren't even in the same class.
No.
So let's compare remote viewing and astral projection.
Astral projection.
They're two different energies, but they're similar, right?
There is a similarity. And being a genetic psychic, a lot of my gifts, they flow together.
Yeah.
I'm not able to differentiate them when I'm working on something.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so they all flow together.
A genetic psychic, the definition is that you're just born with your abilities and it's been in your family for generations, correct? That's how you define it?
Correct. And if we go back to that DNA structure we talked about, our antenna is on. It's on high frequency so that we can receive.
Yes.
A lot easier than someone who is an intuitive. They have to work on that and opening up their subconscious in order to receive those signals.
That makes sense. And one is not necessarily better than the other. It's just a different way of being.
Yeah. You could compare it to someone who is an athlete. You know, if their father was a professional football player, they probably have that athleticism within their DNA structure. So it's a little easier for them to tap into. It's as simple as that.
Great analogy. That's awesome. Okay, so let's go back to the movie a little bit, Men Who Stare at Goats. So the Hollywood version of remote viewing compared to the real-life version of remote viewing, do you want to compare that a little bit?
Sure. one of the things that they really didn't dive into, because it was Hollywood, was what you take on when you remote view. So it's not just that signal of information comes into your mind, but it also does affect your body.
Yes.
You feel that within your body. When you are working, typically when you're working for the police, or an authority like that type, the reason they're calling you in is because they need a little extra help, and you're not always going to see the pretty things. You're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and those things can stay in your mind and in your body. And that's one reason why mind-body practice is so important to maintain in order for you to take care of yourself. In the movie, the Special Forces group that has some kind of underlying approval to start this project, they really ran underneath the wire. And when the public found out about it, they got blown out of the water and it was canceled. But then it was done again, kind of underneath the covers again. They started up the project group again. Am I answering your question, Shannon?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, this is so much fun and you just get distracted, hey?
Yeah.
I like what you said about taking it on in your body.
Yeah.
So Kim has also been a paramedic. And so she's seen lots of crazy, not so pretty things. And her ability to detach from that is super helpful, right, in your being able to remote view?
Absolutely. You have to detach. You cannot have opinions and judgments. You can't. You have to stay absolutely neutral. And when you're dealing with horrific events, you need to work not to keep that in your body.
Okay. Because it could mess you up, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I have remote viewed missing persons who have drowned, and you have to find the body. That's why you've been called out.
Right.
And you initially start getting information in kind of small bubble form, and then it'll expand, or you'll just get it all right away. But you know that it's not so glamorous looking at dead bodies all day.
No.
You know, and sometimes that'll show up later. And you have to have a process and a practice in order to remove it. Otherwise, it'll make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be able to function. So you have to have a process of detaching and staying neutral. For example, some people think that, you know, women who wear red dresses are loose. But it's just a red dress. And you have to maintain that. It's really, really important to maintain that neutral point of view.
Fascinating. I could see where it could mess you up. You have to find a way to release the energy and be detached, because you want to be totally on when you're getting the information.
Exactly. If you have perceptions or opinions, that'll skew the information.
Right.
And then you're not, it won't be able to be validated, and you're not going to be able to assist people. And that's why a lot of people who do remote viewing, some people, I should say, do it, is to assist people. If you're looking for, you know, missing people, their family is devastated, they're terrified. Every fear that can come up will come up for them. You're there to assist them. Remote viewing has also been used in oil and gas and mining activity.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It can be used in a variety of situations. It's not just, I know that there is a group of remote viewers who actually do work down in the southern states, and they look for water, fresh water.
That's cool.
It is. It is. So there's a lot. If someone is looking to bring this into the work that they do, it can be used in a huge variety and different types of places, what type of elements you're looking for. It's not just looking for missing people or things.
That's fabulous, because you're right. People do associate remote viewing with working with, you know, law enforcement to solve crimes. But there's so many other ways to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone wanted to, you know, they could use it, you know, as a water witch. If they were looking for fresh water.
Yes.
It can also be to archaeological. Okay, let's try that word again. Archaeological. Archaeological or historical. They can assist different groups trying to dig up history.
Nice.
So it's broad. It can be huge. Not only will they find items, but they can find some of the history that goes along with those items. And it makes it easier for those who are doing the historical searches to find relation of people with objects or locations. And they can put a whole story together, and we can know a little bit more about our history.
Now,
and
that's
a really neat tool to have.
Yeah, because it gives them a starting place.
It does. And, you know, it's... And we can get into this, how you actually can start to learn how to remote view. Or if you are a genetic psychic, you can start to narrow it down how to receive that information. You can really help put the story together if you're starting already from a point that, you know, like a location, a historical location, or if they said, hey, we dug this old cup up at this location, you can start to help put it together. And sometimes, you know, especially with historical groups that like to continue to expand the information that they have, they'll actually do all the finishing work for you. You just need to present the information to them.
Nice.
Yeah. I know that there are some remote viewers who do some work in the Civil War areas, and that's how they're able to put more of the information together, because some records were destroyed during the war, and they're able to put people, places, and events, and items together. So I think that's pretty neat, because I think we're a lot better people when we know about our history. if we learn from it.
It's fascinating, very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm thinking about all this right now. Okay, so, and you can also use remote viewing to find your lost keys, right?
Absolutely.
Because there's total practical applications.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You can use it for yourself or for friends if they're missing items. The key is to really nail down that the practice of remote viewing, and then it'll become a lot more accurate. So it is something that needs to be practiced regularly.
Yes.
In order to get that information. For myself, I actually have a sheet of paper that I use. I'll write down the time, the date, the physical conditions that I am currently in and my emotional condition. And then as the information starts to come in, there is such a huge amount of information. Sometimes it's hard to put it all down on the paper.
Okay.
So we always do kind of a backup system. But you use all of your senses, use your body, and then sometimes you just need to start breaking down that information. And when you put the pencil down on the paper, you start to actually get more information. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you saw the color green, that's all you see is the color green, and then you touch in to see, is this man-made? Is it natural? And then, oh, it's grass. Okay, so I've narrowed it down to grass. And then you can use your other senses. Once you have the initial information down, to get the remainder of the information.
Okay, so back it up a little. So
okay.
If I want to practice remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
I would sit down, have a piece of paper, and then, so some of it is kind of like automatic writing because you're writing down what you see, hear, feel, sense, wherever you're going,
mm-hmm.
correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So how would you even start to practice? Like, so you would get someone to help you, yes?
And not necessarily.
They would pick a location? Okay, start from the beginning. How would someone...
Oh,
okay,
sure.
I've never even heard of remote viewing. I don't have a clue, but it sounds like something I'd like to learn. Where would I start?
Okay. I would start by doing the explanation that we had at the beginning.
Okay.
And then explaining that we need to connect to our consciousness, to the non-local. Non-local meaning it's not in my time and space right where I am at this point in time.
Okay.
You need to learn how to quiet the chatter in your mind. As soon as you quiet that chatter, the signal will increase. So your little radio receiver, it'll go on high alert. And again, your mind and your body. Go ahead.
So when you're remote viewing, does it feel like you're projecting your energy out to the location, or does it feel like you're pulling the location information into you?
I am receiving it.
So you're pulling it into
you. It's coming to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, when I do the remote viewing, like when I'm doing readings and stuff, I go there,
mm-hmm.
which is why I can't do it the way you do it.
No,
okay, cool. You're pulling it
like opening
into
a little
you.
Door in my mind.
Okay.
And the signals come in.
Okay.
And remembering that your mind and your body are linked.
Okay.
So you need to have a practice of meditation or mind-body exercise, whether it's yoga, tai chi, qigong, whatever works for you.
Yoga?
Breath work is also very powerful. Yes, yoga is good because it works with your mind and your body at the same time.
Okay.
And if the physical doesn't work for you, try breath work because it is as powerful as meditation.
Yes. It is. Okay, so
when I say the information,
okay.
Mm-hmm. So the signal. Go ahead, Shanna.
I'm just putting myself in that space. Okay, so you are looking at. Okay, so it's a physical. So you're looking at a place. Let's use it for instance. Say, let's just do the lost keys because it's easier. So if I'm sitting down and I want to find my lost keys, I am pulling the information of where they are into me, and so I'm looking for clues in the surroundings, correct?
So you quiet your mind.
Okay.
And you connect. What you're doing is you're connecting with a signal. So for me, it'll start to come in. And this comes in your subconscious.
Okay. Am I connecting
with? What happens?
Am I connecting with the vibration of those keys?
If you know what you're looking for, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
You connect with those keys. For example, if you're looking for a missing person,
yep,
you may or may not have a photo of that individual.
Okay.
Because I have other skills, and
yep.
Like I said before, they all kind of flow in together, they mesh together.
Okay.
I can use clairvoyance and pick up attributes of that person, the way they smell. And that way we can kind of nail it down.
Okay.
Narrow the opening to focus.
Okay. So is it easier to do when you have some sort of focal point? Or does it matter?
For myself, it does not matter.
Okay, cool. I would need a focal point.
Yeah, for myself, it doesn't matter.
Fascinating.
And I can just turn it on and off. So if someone just called me and said that they would like me to remote view something, I could just turn and check in on it.
Nice.
But I have a mind-body practice that
right.
I do every day. And I know that that helps keep me centered. And that I can slip into that subconscious point, which basically means that I'm just below the threshold of consciousness.
Okay.
And my subconscious mind activates my autonomic nervous system. And that takes over from there. So sometimes it's just I need to take it to pen and paper. Depends on the day.
Okay.
And... or if someone, say, calls me and they've misplaced their keys and they've got an appointment in half an hour and they have to roll, you know, I can focus in on that and hopefully help them find their keys. And sometimes we're not supposed to get that information.
Right.
Good and
point.
Sometimes
very
we
good
are.
Point.
Yeah. I have never... had an incident working with authorities that I've not been able to, but I've worked
nice.
With colleagues who just couldn't pick up anything, but between the two of us, we were able to tag team it and find that individual.
Nice.
Yeah, so I kind of just opened the door, and when I started gathering information, my colleague was able to pick up from what information I had gathered, and then it just flowed really well. So that was a great opportunity, and it worked out really well.
That is fabulous. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so we are going to take a little break right now and play my lovely commercials and get ourselves a drink of water, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Are you wishing to change your life? Do you feel stuck in patterns? Are you exploring who you are? The Psychic Cowgirl has answers. soul sessions dig deep into energies to look at your situation and provide tools to move forward. Perhaps you have some past life vows, some soul contracts or karma you are working through. A soul session creates a soul cleaning and clearing. You will get to see future possibilities and timelines. You will feel empowered and inspired for your unique journey. All sessions are guided by your spiritual team. For more information, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychic, P-S-Y-C-H-I-C, cowgirl, C-O-W-G-I-R-L.com.
Feeling anxious, overwhelmed, or stuck in a pattern? There's a healing crystal for that. Wish to attract more energies of prosperity in your life? There's a crystal for that, too. Shop the Psychic Cowgirl store to experience the benefits of healing crystals with the bonus of bling. If you're looking for moonstone to aid anxiety, amethyst to promote focus, or amazonite to release stuck patterns, you'll find these and much, much more. The Psychic Cowgirl store has rings, handmade bracelets, and necklaces infused with extra juju just for you. For more information, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychiccowgirl.com. Enjoy the benefits and bling of beautiful crystal jewelry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So we are talking with Kim about remote viewing, and we are not taking your calls today because she has lots of information to share, and so we want to focus on that. If you do have questions on remote viewing and how to, you know, learn about it yourself, how to get started, or, you know, if you are already doing it and don't realize, we would be happy to answer those, but we are not doing psychic readings today. So, Kim, where should we go next with this?
So, for example, if someone wanted to start to learn how to remote view, and they've started a meditation practice, a body-mind practice, or a breath practice, they need to have that locked down first. That's going to be your safety device. Okay? That'll take care of you, and it'll protect you. So once you've got, you know, that mind-body practice locked down, and, you know, it only takes a few days to actually lock it down, and you will notice the difference within your body. How do you connect with that target information? This is how you do it. You have to find a buddy. So, yeah, your buddy's going to work with you. And what your buddy is going to do is they're going to either have a book with them or, say, a stone or some type of little thing that they can put in their pocket. And at, for example, 7 o'clock every evening, you're going to try and tune in to see what your buddy has in their pocket. So you're opening up your receiver. You're allowing the information to flow through. And in the beginning, don't sweat it if your mind starts chattering real fast. It'll get busier before it gets quiet. Once it gets quiet, the information is going to start to bubble in. So it doesn't. The information doesn't come linear. It's very holistic how it comes in. And what you'll do is just write down what you see, or write down what you feel. And like I said before, I have a page or a piece of paper, and I'll write down the incidentals, like the time and the date. But I also have written down beforehand whether it's man-made or natural. And then I list my 5 senses, you know, your smell, taste, touch, et cetera.
Okay.
And then have space on the paper if you decide to freehand draw, kind of download draw something, it'll be there. If there is a particular shape, sometimes to get more information out of it, you'll just continue to trace out the shape or the number, or it might just be squiggly lines, but there's information in there. And what I do is I'll write down, okay, so this is a this thing has a natural feel to it. And then I'll start to go down the senses, list the information that I find. Sometimes I'll draw a location.
Okay.
Or I will just, I'll draw a location or numbers. And that's a really good way to start. If you have kind of that draft kind of piece of paper with the information on there, it'll flow quick, and you'll have a place to put the information so that, because once it starts flowing, it goes from like a trickle to a raging river.
Nice.
Yeah. And that way you won't miss vital information. And you kind of, once you've done it, connect with your friend. See if the information is right. Some days you're going to be wrong, and that's not a big deal. Mm-mm. Some days you're just not going to be on enough to get it, and that's okay. Once, if you've connected with your friend and found out whether you're right or wrong, you'll need to go back to that piece of paper and kind of extract. You'll be able to extract a little bit more. For example, say if you were looking, drawn a particular shape on your paper, you'll get a gut feeling whether that was right or wrong.
Right.
And you need to document what that feels like, if it's right or wrong. Because it's a training process.
It is a training process. It's just like when you're training your intuition to expand it. It's a muscle. You have to practice it. I do want to add, though, grounding, right? That's what your mind-body connection is doing for you, right? You're grounding your energy because you want to be grounded before you start, and you want to be grounded after.
Absolutely. You have to be. You have to be grounded. You will not
get
authentic information otherwise.
Right, because you're just floating around. So what do you do after to make sure that you can shut it off or let it go? Because I could see, you know, me being me, going and remote viewing something and then writing it all down and then not letting it go and keep poking at it just because. How would you suggest I shut it off after?
Well, that's definitely an innate activity. You know, we're going to go up there and poke at it after. For me, it is just completely detaching. Breath work for me is the one of the stronger things, practices that I have. And you need just to go back and quiet that mind and find your sweet spot.
Okay. And don't obsess.
But being grounded.
But you will probably when you're learning, right?
Yeah. And document it. You know, get yourself a sketchbook or, you know, a coil book that you can write this information in and keep a detailed log of it.
Right.
One other thing, when you're practicing with your friend, I would suggest that you practice 7 days on, and then your friend can practice for 7 days. The reason you want to do that is you want to become accustomed to recognizing what that subconscious feeling feels like. And then you know to dive in.
Right.
I know from some of your previous radio shows, Shannon, that you said you didn't know you were meditating or finding that spot when you were young. And I was the same way, too. So you need to learn how to recognize that spot.
Yes, that makes sense.
That subconscious place in it. And writing that information down in your little book, whatever kind of book you want to keep it there. And it's great to go back later. You'll see how far you came. But then, you know, having it documented is so key. And
because
even
that's where you're
going
like
to learn it.
How you were feeling that day or anything that was going on. Because I like what you said about having a 7 day in a row practice. Because some days you're going to be really good, some days not so good, and maybe it's what's gone on in your day. So it would give you huge clues as to how your own personal energy works.
Absolutely. That's when I document on paper, I always talk about my physical conditions and my emotional condition that day. And the emotional condition of the people in my home and the animals in my home also. Because that energy can affect it also.
It can.
So,
it's
really important to document.
Environment.
Yes. Yeah.
I know when I first came out of the psychic closet and let people know that I could do this, I had a whole ritual I had to do before I would do readings. And it was like self-confidence, right? Because I figured if I did A, B, C, D, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, now I don't. I just jump in. But I can also tell which days, you know, I'm really glad I don't have clients. But it's an energy thing, right? And which days I know
That's
that,
right.
Yay, this is a great day for clients. And so glad I have some. Because finding your own energy patterns will help you be better at whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. It's key. And documentation is key. I didn't want to write any of this down when I started becoming a out-of-the-closet psychic either. But it is just so important, and that's why I kind of keep going back to it. Your greatest learnings will come from what you document.
Yes.
Because they will be the small keys that open up big doors.
And it's fun to go back and say, holy hay crops, I was better than I thought. Because that's what will happen, right? Because we don't recognize our brilliance.
True enough, yeah, absolutely. And the more you practice, the more accurate you will become, and the more you'll be able to trust yourself.
Nice.
And trusting yourself and the information that you receive and the feelings that you receive and everything that goes along with what you receive, having that trust within yourself is so important. Because
very
when you
important.
Trust yourself, you will, your information will become more detailed, and it will be of greater benefit.
And the information will become cleaner, clearer, crisper.
Yes. Yeah, your competency will escalate.
Yes.
So, you know, once you've moved past, when you're working with a buddy, once you've moved past, you know, the stone or, you know, the book in the pocket kind of idea,
okay,
other places to try would be photos of crop circles, maybe some pyramids, historical sites, your local mall.
Okay.
It could be anything from, because remote viewing can be past, present, and future. It could be seeing an expansion on the mall in the future, or maybe you've seen what the environment looked like before they built the mall. And those are little places where you can practice, but you can also get some background information if you start to dig to check and see how accurate you are.
Nice. You can get some of those validations that we love.
To yes, we do
sure
love
we,
that.
We're doing it. Nice. Very fun. Okay, so let me ask you this. So if somebody was remote viewing my ranch right now, would I see them?
Mm-hmm. You yourself could probably pick up the energy.
It's a question that I just thought about because you know how we see, you know, people floating through randomly now and again. I can tell when it's someone remote viewing and when it's someone just passing through visiting or if it's one of my loved ones popping in to say hi. The energy does feel different.
Yeah.
So let's go there a little bit with ethics.
Sure. Sure. I think the biggest...
It's important, right?
So it's a gift. Being able to remote view is a gift. And I think that needs to be remembered. That
honored.
That it is, yes, and honored. And remember, you are a messenger. And what kind of message do you want to go out there? You know, when I talked a little bit about the history at the beginning of the show, and we talked that psychics and remote viewers have been in the king's courts, Alexander the Great, he had a psychic with him as he made his great travels. And he would be able to, the remote viewer was able to tell Alexander about the armies that they were going to meet, sometimes which way to go. He did make some mistakes and had to come back again. That's sometimes remote viewers aren't running 100%. But maybe that was just the way it was supposed to be. You weren't supposed to go that way.
True.
So, yeah, you need to have a high standard for yourself when it comes to ethics.
Yes.
Do you want to help someone in war? Do you want to help someone who's taking water out of the earth? You need to know who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with. So again,
and why?
You have to
remain
very
authentic.
Why does it appeal
to you?
Yes, exactly.
And just know that, you know, if you're remote viewing somebody's place or something, there's a good chance they'll know. And so just keep that in mind, right?
Yeah. And if you do find out information not to be divulged or gossiped about.
Right.
Good
point.
Speak accurately. You know, don't exaggerate your success or minimize them. Give a true account. And treating others with respect. So, so important. And,
yes.
And if you can't do the work, graciously refer to someone else. Don't just come up with something to make a buck for the day. Yeah, you need to give that out to someone else. You still need to help those people that are looking for the information, but just refer them off to someone else. And
nice.
You have, you know, again, having a high standard for yourself, not discriminating against cultural beliefs, religions, sexual preference, or gender. You know, I think going back to the definition of how we actually receive remote viewing with our DNA being that little antenna, it kind of really shows that we are all one, that we're all on a path, that there is that connection within. And the other thing that I would like to say about ethics is not to be a crutch for anyone.
Ooh, good
Don't
point.
Have them coming back all the time. You need what we really need to do is help them find their own strength and really detach from our own egos so that they can have the best experience possible. And don't push your own agendas.
Good point.
It'll blow up in your face.
It totally will, won't it?
Yes,
it will, for sure.
Yeah. And so, go ahead.
I have a practical question. So, in the chat room, we had someone who she didn't realize we weren't doing psychic readings, and she asked about, do you see a job or a move for me? So if I wanted to remote view that for myself, is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just really get down into your mind and body practice. Open up. And you already have part of a target, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just need to open up, and as the information bubbles come in, and you might not get your answer on the first time. It might take you a little while to get the full answer. You might be only getting enough information what you need at that point in time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is good to know, because it's another psychic muscle, basically, that you can work on to get information, because it's really hard to get information for yourself. I shouldn't say it's really hard. It can be more challenging because there's trust issues.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if you're working with family, it can be tough also.
Yeah.
Because we strive to stay not attached, but when it's your loved ones, it can be a little bit difficult to stay attached, or unattached, I should say, because you are attached. And it's not just your DNA, it's your heart and your soul. And
absolutely.
An example of myself, remote viewing, my brother was in a serious accident, and I was able to remote view the entire accident. It was not an easy thing to do, because I love my little brother. But I was able to get the information that was required in order to assist them. So it was a lot of work. And not getting caught up in the emotion of it and staying detached while you wrote out the remote viewing.
Yikes. I bet you needed a nap after.
Yeah, definitely. It does. It can physically take a lot out of you. And one of the great things that you do, Shannon, is you talk to people about self-care.
Yes.
And the importance of self-care. And a lot of times that doesn't happen in our society. It's very go, go, go. And you can't do this work unless you do self-care.
It's true, because you will burn out fast.
Yeah. And then it starts getting into that place where, okay, I've made this my full-time job, and I got to make a buck today because the mortgage is due at the end of the month.
Yep.
And that's how you create people who need you as a crutch, or you just give them... you know, you don't give them a quality reading, and people don't deserve that. Give what you get. You know, if you're
good
going
point.
To, yeah, you need to, you need to self-care. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And sleeping. If you can get a good night's sleep, because it sorts through all the messages of your day and it will get rid of everything you don't need. That's how I can stay so grounded, is because I'm an excellent sleeper.
She always has been.
It's true. It's true. I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I tell
you. Yeah, taking good care of yourself. Eating properly, too.
Yes.
It's really important to ensure you're hydrated. When you're remote viewing, ensure you have a glass of water with you. That'll also help keep you grounded.
And water is a good conductor.
It is. It really is. One of the best.
So getting that energy flowing, you want to be hydrated.
Yeah. Exactly. I can't believe how fast time went.
I was just going to say that to you. Look how fast this hour has gone by.
It has.
Give us something juicy.
It has.
What can we ask you that's juicy? Could you tell us, how did you end up doing this professionally? Can you tell us that? If you can, it's okay.
Yes, I can. It was through a teacher, a former teacher.
Nice.
I had all these skills. I didn't know what to do with them. And being a genetic psychic, as I said before, so many of the skills flowed together. I couldn't tell one from the other. So it was the time of my life to find a teacher. And this individual worked with local federal authority. And that's how I started out. I actually went to help her because she wasn't getting anything. I was able to open up a few doors, and then she was able to do the work that she needed. Sometimes people and things don't want to be found.
True. That's very true.
I just thought of an incident where we were looking for an individual, and that individual did not want to be found by his family. So that kind of puts you in a little bit of a sticky ethical place.
It does, doesn't it?
It does, and it had to be weighed out at that point in time. And those are things that you need to know that can come up. Those are some of the hard things that you have to deal with. Actually, remote viewing isn't as hard as the ethical part. What, do you tell this family that their family member doesn't want to be found? Or do you just let it go and say, I can't see anything?
Yes. Because it's a higher energy. It's not as simple as, you know, yeah, I know where he is. Here he is. Because
yeah,
there's a higher version of ethics that's not, you know, necessarily part of this earth plane.
Exactly.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, then you have to start juggling. You have to... Lucky, I feel very blessed that I have other skills that I can dive in a little deeper, and I'm able to check the pool for more information to know what to do. But, you can find yourself in some difficult situations. And you'll just have to, each situation is different, so you will need to decipher that at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And know who you are at your essence, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What works for you and what does not.
Yeah. And when you're doing this type of work, you have a responsibility, not just to yourself, but to others. So you need to ensure that it's for the best of everyone.
Because as we all know, if you make a choice that you make because you're kind of feeling pressured or you feel you have to, but it's not actually ethically aligned with yourself, there will be consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to
Absolutely.
Deal with those consequences.
Yep, you will have to deal with those down the road eventually.
Yep. It could mess you up. But not to say that you might not try it once in a while, right? Because that's how we learn. We
Absolutely.
Learn when things are sticky.
You do. And, you know, when I started out, I made some ethical blunders. You know,
of course,
I exaggerated things or I minimized them. But that's part of the learning curve.
Yeah.
As long as you don't get stuck in those places and work to the highest potential for everyone involved, it's going to be the right outcome.
Yes. So fascinating. Well, our hour is gone because we have that little voice in our ears saying, 60 seconds. If you guys could hear that voice, you'd roll your eyes. She's kind of annoying. So thank you, Kim, for coming on the show. You might have to do a part two sometime.
It would be my pleasure.
Yay. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome, and have a great rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower you on your personal journey. For more information, to connect with Shannon directly, visit PsychicCowgirl.com. That's P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. chiccowgirl.com.